Now, I've heard a lot of pessimism, and I know it's just like one pessimistic thing after the next, so we thought maybe for a change of pace, we'll do a little bit of talk about any a little glimmer, I would say, of hope. And anyone could laugh and say, no hope, no hope. But I think that, and I'm going to start it off and then turn to my colleagues here. I think, look, we've been in a very long tunnel for the last 7 years. Those of you who care about Israeli-Palestinian coexistence know very well, 4 years of an intifada, 2000-2004. There was a lot of tumult over Gaza disengagement, which instead of bringing the sides together, it caused a lot of, it was a very controversial event in 2005. Then in January 2006, we had a Hamas parliamentary victory. Then there was a Lebanon war last summer, which also was fighting in Gaza, too, that people forget about. So it's been a long tunnel for much of the last 7 years, with some moments of hope and a lot of despair. I think that, I think it's important that we define the stakes for where we're at now. We all know what happened on June 14th at Gaza. And there was a poll that just came out of Al-Najah in Palestinian University, which said 55% of Palestinians consider it a coup against the Palestinian institutions. This is a poll that just came out. But you now have, an alignment in Israel and in the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank that gives some room for some glimmer of hope. I think the stakes are high because if the moderates don't come together, we could see the future. We saw it over the last year and a half. And we will see this conflict be transformed from a national conflict to a religious conflict. It's hard enough to solve a nationalist conflict. I think it's impossible, basically, to solve a religious conflict. And I think you have an outside actors here that have been fueling the fire. Mahmoud Zahar, leader of Hamas, is quoted as saying that Qatar has spent $400 million in funding Hamas. Mohammed Dahlan, who people say is not entirely objective, was on the losing end in Gaza, but he has gone on record as saying the same thing. Both Zahar and Dahlan also saying Qatar has spent $400 million to fund Hamas, and Iran is given another $400 million.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I think there are risks here to inaction that, and we've seen over the last year and a half, when you do nothing, you're given a very, you have the force of radicalization or able to organize. So I think the stakes are high, and you have governments, whether it's the Abbas Fayyad government on the Palestinian side, the Olmert government on the Israeli side, who understand that if they do nothing, there will be this radicalization. I think that I would argue after just coming back from a trip to Israel, to Ramallah, to East Jerusalem, East Jerusalem, but also to Amman, having spent about 2.5 hours with Salam Fayyad, I tend to believe that the situation for both Olmert and Fayyad, while never easy and simple, is a little less pessimistic than we see. Olmert still does not have any burst of popularity. I mean, there should be no change on that. Yes, his popularity is no longer within the statistical margin of error of polls, but the government does not look like it's about to fall. The Winograd Commission's second report is delayed. And there are legal challenges now saying that the IDF wants legal representation if any of their people are named. That's something that Olmert was kind of pushing for, favoring, because that will delay the process. Some say it could delay it for up to a year, but certainly for several months. Moreover, the Lebanon war, I think, seems to me, as an observer, maybe others here will disagree. I don't think it is dominating the landscape the way it did for much of the last year. Politicians are shy about going to elections, early elections, and according to the polls, the public is not clamoring for early elections. Moreover, Olmert has received a boost by the addition of Ehud Barak as defense minister, is seen as helping his government. And for the first time since the Lebanon War, Bibi Netanyahu's Likud party does not tower over the political landscape in the way it has for the last year. Now it's the Labor and Likud neck and neck. Of course, Olmert's Kadima party is in third place. But Olmert is also boosted by the fact that he has a new confidant in office, someone who's had legal problems of his own, Chaim Ramon. But I would argue that having met with Ramon, things that you hear from Ramon privately, Olmert says publicly a week later. That you cannot say having met Tzipi Livni and then talking to hearing Ehud Olmert a week later. But with Ramon, it's word for word of what Ramon says is what Olmert says a week later. I think he's a new player into the mix that I would urge everyone here who follows this to look at. I think on the Palestinian side, and we'll hear from our Palestinian friend, that Fayyad and Fatah seem to have a symbiotic relationship. Fayyad needs Fatah because it gives him a base. Because he left Fatah on issues of corruption, started his own party, didn't do that well. But in that sense, Fatah gives him the political backing he needs. And for Fatah, it seems that Fayyad is the is very much the person who's not tainted by corruption and therefore could help clean up Fatah's image. As you know, Fayyad was finance minister for the last few years. He's credited, I think, with breaking up the petrol monopoly, the cement monopoly, giving soldiers, the Palestinian security members, a bank account when Arafat believed the best way to pay people was through a paper bag, where you gave the general a big paper bag, and by the time it got to the private, all you had was the paper bag, no money. So I think that Fayyad's clean image helps Fatah at this time. But of course, and both share a common idea, which is to avert what I would call the creeping Islamization of the West Bank, the way it's happened in Gaza. So I think that that symbiotic relationship exists. Of course, the question is, can Fayyad deliver and maintain this image as clean and be considered the go-to guy who could deliver and improve the economic situation as he did when he was finance minister? They've done a few things, I think, that have got him off to a good start. They cut a fugitives deal with the Israeli Shin Bet, which basically says that the Israel's wanted are not going to be hunted down so long as they turn in their guns and they stay in municipal zones for 3 months. And Israel has, I believe, has adhered to it. There are certain people Israel has refused to put on its list of 178. Maybe there's more names now. But it's all the most Fatah people wanted to join the list. The people say there's some people who weren't on the wanted list who said they were on wanted list. But the point is that has been a help. Second thing that's helped Fayyad is he's been able to pay salaries in full for the first time in a year and a half. The Palestinian people are getting salaries. There was crippling international sanctions for a year and a half. Fayyad could start paying salaries. 250 prisoners are released. And in a story that it's got no publicity, nor in the United States, nor in Israel. I was talking to Ephraim Sneb before this event, and I found that out in my other meetings in Israel, but AP reported it, and I think it's reported in the Arabic press, too. Fayyad met with 800 imams at the Mukata in Ramallah and basically said, you know, we don't want the dissemination of political messages and sermons anymore. I'm sure he seemed to suggest he has his ways of finding out what people said. But this is a new approach. So far, there seems to be support for the Abbas way. Now, maybe I haven't seen polls on Fayyad per se, but on Abbas. Here's two polls, numbers that just came out of this new Al-Najah poll. By a 55% to 32% margin, he was asked, do you think the Hamas was a coup against the Palestinian legitimacy? 55% said yes, 32% said no. In the same poll, do you think that Hamas is capable of managing the affairs of the people in the Gaza Strip? 63% said no, 26% said yes. So the idea that this there would be a groundswell for Hamas, we haven't yet seen. And I think it's feeling the heat. So what are the challenges? And where does the United States fit in on all this? It seems to me that the challenges we see on at least three different fronts. On the security side, Fayyad might be able to recover from the lack of Fatah base as given the symbiotic relationships that I mentioned before. But how does he have the security base? Yasser Arafat, whatever you want to say about him, met with his commanders once a week. We don't see that Abbas does that. Moreover, we see that the person who's leading Abdel Razak Yahya is 78 years old. Doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. I saw Shimon Peres, though, right before I left, and I was about to say that, and I realized he's 84 years old, so I decided to skip that point. But it seems that what the Gaza thing has seemed to suggest is that the era of the strong man may be over. Dahlan, who was a hope, some say he lost, some say you can't lose if you don't fight. He was in a hospital in Germany doing knee surgery. He's kind of talking about him, Dahlan, today in Ramallah is like talking about Ehud Olmert in Israel right after the Lebanon War. So he's kind of on the outs, and he resigned from office. And that has led people say, well, you got to build the institutions. You got to build the security services. Now, what's happened is that Hamas, as I mentioned before, with all this Qatari money and Iranian money, why Qatar is doing it is probably a whole policy forum in and of itself. But with all this money coming in, General Dayton on the American side, basically he's had zero funds to work with. He's had to beg, borrow, I don't use the word steal, but from Europeans and others to try to help, but there's been no appropriations coming from Congress. Now there's finger pointing going on between Congress and the executive branch of why wasn't $59 million transferred, or by the time people agreed on it, Gaza was already lost. Clearly that has to change, and I think Fayyad needs a bigger security base, and Dayton needs to be supported. On the economy side, yes, Fayyad is buying time now because he's able to pay salaries, which Hamas was not able to do. They paid their own people, of course. He apparently has cut 31,000 people from the rolls, Fayyad, because he found fictitious names that were given to him by different ministries that might not make friends, at least not among fictitious people. But the question is, if the big peak players are going to help out. The Gulf states have gotten a huge windfall with oil at whatever it is, $70 plus, $76 a barrel. There are new winds in Congress suggesting they would welcome a comprehensive package from the Bush administration to give a boost, including housing and including development assistance if that package is forthcoming from the administration. Yes, there's a lag time until money appropriated is delivered, as we've seen, but it would be good to point to things that can help change the situation. I don't know, with all the talk of elections, if that's really in the offing. Right now, I see no sign that Abu Mazen is willing to get rid of the old guard of Fatah, and that might mean that they're not such an appealing list right now. I think what would talk louder than words is economic changes on the ground and an active diplomatic process led by the United States. So where does it leave us on diplomacy? Well, as I said, I think Ramon is the key figure to watch on the Israeli side. And now you have Olmert saying publicly he wants to work on the principles of Palestinian statehood. The challenge will be, and it was unclear from reading Bush's speech, if he separated out the territorial issue from refugees in Jerusalem. Some say that's an overreading into the speech. He didn't mean to do that. That's the way it read to me on face value. Others' administration said that's not what was intended. But it could be, and this is where Rice might be, you know, and Livni are onto something to say, look, ultimately the horizon is you're going to have to deal with all issues. If it's just territory, you'll have Israelis saying, what, give all the land for free and not get anything in return? So it could be that you will have all the issues on the horizon will come forward. Will the U.S. meeting create new momentum? It's unclear. I think we have to be careful not to raise expectations in a way if they can't be met. We don't know if the Gulf states are going to come. That would be a big boost in Israel. But if you raise expectations high on the Palestinian side and then they're not met after the meeting, it actually plays into Hamas's hands, would say, see, all about diplomacy, it's all words, no results. So the meeting has to be planned carefully. There are still open questions. I'll just say one and then I'll stop here. And that is the following. What do you do about Gaza? I don't know if we have seen, talking to all these players, great strategies at this time. The issue of the Kearny crossing, Ephraim will talk about it, about the businesses that are being impacted. Some would say, well, do a Qasem for Karni swap, which is if they stop Karni, if they stop allowing the Islamic Jihad to fire Qasem rockets, then Karni is open. Others would say, no, that will entrench Hamas, and that is not, that's a honey trap for Israel that it wants to avoid. So there are some issues that are very much left open. There's always a chance of assassination in the West Bank. You cannot rule that out. But I think after 7 years, I guess if I had to sum up, 7 years of a very turbulent period, we're still in the turbulence, don't get me wrong, and I certainly don't want to raise hopes here. You know, peace is about to break out. But I think there's at least some hope of moderate governments who see that the alternative of radicalization is very much on their doorstep. And if they do nothing, they're almost assured to bring that radicalization come about. So I kind of think a noose around your neck kind of concentrates the mind. And that could lead to parties on both sides pondering some bigger decisions, you know, in months ahead, and avoid the passivity of the past given its consequences. Thank you. Thank you very much.